The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
We are back this week for part two of the Disneyland Paris fam trip. Back in studio with Paul and I are Bettina, our head of product, Sonia from our sales team, and Kathleen, our social media specialist. Last week, we ended our Disneyland Paris podcast, and we felt that there was so much more that we wanted to cover. So last week, what we did is we covered how to get to Disneyland Paris, where to stay, and this episode is going to be about the magic. The theme parks, the different parks, the different rides, where to eat, what to look forward to, tips, all of those good things that really make Disneyland Paris Disneyland Paris.
The pure fun and games. Yeah. And great to have Bettina and Sonia and Kathleen with us today. Yeah. So thank you all very much for joining us, guys. Really great. Tell us about the magic.
Yeah. Where do we start? Will we start at the parks?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah. Where do we start? Well, I suppose for anyone who hasn't been, Disneyland Paris is made up of two parks. And that's taking it down to basic level. So when you do go, you're going to have two parks to enjoy and immerse yourself in when you get there. And we had great fun having to do this. It's part of our job.
It's a tough job.
Someone has to do it.
But this is it. You know, we need people out there in the field walking the walk and then being able to come home and tell us and train us all about it and tell our customers all about it.
We took one for the team. So if we start with the main park, what do you guys think? So Disneyland Park itself is your heart of the magic. It's where everything kind of flows from. It's the home of Sleeping Beauty's castle.
Yes.
And every Disney park has its own castle and its own princess. So the one in Paris is Sleeping Beauty's. And in my opinion, she's the most beautiful because she's pure fairy tale. And the park itself is made up of five lands. So you've a lot to explore throughout
wow.
it. There's Fantasyland, Adventureland, Discoveryland, Frontierland. And of course, what you meet when you come in, which is Main Street USA. So Main Street USA, when you arrive into Disneyland Park, is like stepping into a movie set. And it's Walt Disney's vision himself of a town that he grew up in. And it mirrors what you see in Orlando in Walt Disney World as well.
Okay.
So it's the same stores, it's the same feel. It's absolutely beautiful. And that's what greets you first. And then Cinderella's castle stops at the end. But even that moment, like when you come in there, before you even go any further, just taking a second to just be like, take it in.
It is a wow.
It is a wow. And if you turn behind right after walking underneath the train tracks bridge, and you're there early in the morning, Mickey and Minnie Mouse are there waving good morning to you. So don't forget to look behind when you're walking in, if you're going in, especially if you've got that magic hour in the morning, because that moment of just coming into the parks is amazing. I'm sure the girls would agree.
Yeah, something similar on your way back out in the evening time after the show. You see Mickey Mouse waving everybody
goodbye. It is.
Magic.
And we caught Bettina at that point as well and having her moment of absolute joy that Mickey Mouse was waving goodbye to us.
But look, I think that's what's like embarrassing moment.
Yeah. But she's a Disney convert now.
You know, we need to escape, you know, like we need places like Disneyland Paris.
We do. And I think around what makes this park so special throughout each of the lands is you enter a different world. I suppose Fantasyland it's your iconic fairy tale land. And what I really like about Disneyland Paris and Disneyland Park, when you get to the castle, you can walk through it. And that's spectacular in itself. But when you come out the other side, you're in this gorgeous fairy tale world and it's very nostalgic. You know, here you're going to find, you know, rides dedicated to the characters that we all grew up with. So you've got Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland. Like they all live in this space. It's also where the Princess Pavilion is, where you can meet princesses. And it just has that real sense of fairy tale about it. I just absolutely love Fantasyland. It's incredible. And I think around the other lands as well, you know, you'll come across all sorts. Like you'll find Captain Hook's pirate ship, which my little man was so excited about because he loves Captain Hook and Mr. Smee. So I think as you explore each of the lands, whether it's Frontierland or Discoveryland, you just find surprises around every corner. And the rides in this park are brilliant. Like I'm just recently back as well with my own family. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I booked it my first day back in work, having been with the girls. And we loved the Buzz Lightyear ride. We had so much fun on that. And that's with a 3 and a 2-year-old. So, you know, People kind of would have thought my kids are too young to be going to Disneyland Paris, and absolutely not. Like, we had great fun as three grown up women. And then I also saw it from the point of view as a mum with really young kids. And I think it's just that magic of walking around. So even if you're not big into rides, the atmosphere that you feel and the transition between each of the lands is really spectacular. Yeah, it just captivates you. It's really lovely.
And in terms of the rides, like, is there enough for adults?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there is.
Yeah. Kathleen and me had great fun on the Big Thunder Mountain.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best roller coaster sitting, I've ever been on.
Sitting in the front row.
We didn't adrenaline junkies. At all. We were not
at
scared
all,
at all.
All.
And dare I say, I actually did the Big Thunder Mountain in Orlando in December on another trip, and it wasn't half as good as Paris.
Really?
The Paris one was much longer, much more immersive, and a lot more fun. So I thought that was interesting, but it was, we had a great time on that one. And then you have Hyperspace Mountain, which is Star Wars themed now. I was a little bit traumatized from that one, I won't lie. I was told there was no loops, and there was loops. Okay.
Definitely a little bit wobbly when you get off that one.
A little bit shook. And then obviously in Studios Park there's lots of really great rides as well. Like, you have Hollywood Tower of Terror. In Disneyland Park there's Indiana Jones is another great roller coaster. Like, there's plenty for the thrill seekers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
But I also think what I found really enjoyable in the Disneyland Park was it's a small world. They had closed this for renovations for a while, and then I think it reopened at some point last year, and I just thought that was such a little nice ride. I mean, you only sit in a boat, but you're just immersed in a completely different world.
You are.
I really enjoyed that. I really did.
It's nice to rest your feet, and it's nice because we were there and it was like 39 degrees. Lovely to get in and just have a bit of aircon.
Yeah.
So, top tip for the mammies, if your kids are hot and tired and you want to rest your feet, just go on It's a Small World.
So it's full of magic, Disneyland Park. It's got the five worlds, great rides for adults and for kids. And talk to us about the parades and the shows and maybe meeting the characters. How did that work?
Well, the parades and the shows are what I love most about Disney. And what's really great about it is if you've been before, they rejuvenate and they update all their shows all the time. So what we had saw when we were there in September was an entirely different show than what was there in March when I went. So the show that's there right now throughout the day is A Million Splashes of Colour, and they have multiple times of the performance, so you can always catch it at some stage. But what I really like about it is it starts at the beginning of Main Street USA, and you get that parade experience as it goes by and down Main Street USA. But they have podium set up down in front of the castle. So once the parade reaches that part of the park, it stops being a parade and it turns into a full show performance with all the cast members like Mickey Mouse and Minnie and everybody up on platforms. And I think that's really, really cool and something really different and maybe not something that people realise. So what you watch when you're down on Main Street USA versus the exact same show when it reaches the point before the castle is two different experiences.
Okay.
So, and with it playing throughout the day multiple times, you'd be able to catch both versions of it. And I think that's really good.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. That's really good.
It's a lot of fun, and the songs are so catchy.
Okay, we're not going to have any singing.
No. I won't do that to you.
And what about the evening time?
Oh, sure, the fireworks are just spectacular.
Yeah, it's magical, whether it's dark and dry or dark and raining. Like, even if it's raining, you have like the fireworks and the glisten from, like, it's like the stars in the sky. Wow. It's just amazing. But we were there when it was warm and dry, and you just can't help but flapping on the street.
Yeah, and it's magic. Like, it's very immersive. And, you know, they kind of do the light projection onto the castle during the fireworks. And they tell the story and they bring in every Disney character. So no matter what age group you are, it's hitting the feels, you know, like it does get you. And what we loved when we went in March, it only just started a few weeks previous, was the Disney Electrical Sky Parade, which is a new drone show that takes place before the fireworks at park closing. Oh my God, it was incredible. Like, I had seen pictures online, I had seen TikTok videos, but it was just so much better in real life. It was gorgeous, and it brought in many elements of Disney magic, and it was just amazing. And when we went to see it, we didn't try get down in front of the castle. As I said, I have two toddlers, so crowds, you know, kids past bedtime. We actually stayed back. There's like a conservatory at the start of Main Street USA. It's up two steps, and we actually stayed there for the show, looking straight down Main Street USA. We weren't surrounded by the crowds, and we could actually comfortably watch it and then just nip out right before everybody else. So it was a really good looking point. So if you are someone who doesn't like being in a crowd, because it does get busy and it's dark, and I know we will have clients who would prefer to be a little bit back, that's a good place to watch things from as well.
Definitely. Yeah. From our notes, you've mentioned the castle surprises. What are those?
Okay, so I didn't know this until I went, but the Disneyland Paris Castle is full of little surprises and experiences that you can't get anywhere else. Firstly, there's a Christmas shop year round, so if you're a head elf like me, like that's a no-brainer, like that talks about itself. But what's really cool is when you enter the castle on the left-hand side, there's a staircase, and if you follow that staircase upstairs, it brings you to an area that's all stained glass windows, and it tells the story of Sleeping Beauty because you're in her castle. It is gorgeous, like it's just absolutely beautiful. There's also a door in the back where you can go out onto a lookout balcony that looks over Fantasyland, which is brilliant. So if you come back downstairs after following her story, you can then go down into the dungeons, and it is the only Disney castle in the world with its own dragon, and there's a dragon down there, and she's big and she's scary. Maybe don't go down with really young kids, but otherwise it's very cool and really worth seeing.
Very cool.
And talking about the kids, what about the character meet and greets? Where and when and how?
Oh, they're great. And you know, they're all over the park. The app is your best friend.
Okay.
You need your app because firstly, it tells you the times the character meet and greets run. When we were there in March, a lot of them were kind of like morning time up until lunchtime. So we kind of planned our day to touch point where a character might be that our kids were into. So when you first enter Disneyland Park, Winnie the Pooh's meet and greet is just on the left. He was the first character that we met. And they do rotate. So we were queuing for a couple of minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and suddenly Winnie the Pooh like disappeared, and I was like, oh God, does he come back? Does he not? I wasn't sure. I didn't know how it worked, but they do come back. He just goes for a little wee break, as I told my kids.
TMI, everybody. TMI. But, you know, Winnie the Pooh and his wee wees.
But you could walk away not knowing, you know, that he's going to actually come back out, because the app, to me, I found when I was there, didn't say the full length of time that the character would be there.
Yeah.
So we were happy to wait for anybody who had to go for a little wee break and come back to us. But Winnie the Pooh was brilliant. He's still being talked about in our house, what, like a month later, because he took my 2-year-old's hat. Well, he tried to like play with her, like take her hat off her head. And she was traumatized. But they're really, really immersive. And like he sat down and kind of like pretend cried. Do you know, he was very upset that he upset Ava. They're really lovely. And what I will say about the characters in Disney, they spend a lot of time with each person. It's not a case of come up, get a picture, off you go. You know, they really spend a good bit of time. And touching on it, so you'll have Mickey Mouse in his house to meet, Minnie Mouse meets as well. You see Captain Hook. Like, there's so many throughout the parks. One thing I will say, and I actually saw it in a TikTok video, so that's where I got the idea from. We never had an intention to meet Winnie the Pooh just because our kids were so young, and there can be a lengthy wait time to meet him in his main meet and greet place. But I had saw in a TikTok that he had been making appearances by Phantom Manor in the Disneyland park. So we chanced it and we went over, and there he was. And we queued for 10 minutes.
Very
and
good.
And we met Mickey Mouse, which was amazing. Like, it was so good. And 5 minutes later, we were walking by Cowboy Cookout, which is just a couple of steps up the road. And there was Minnie Mouse in her cowboy getup. And we met her really quickly as well. So, yeah, keep an eye out. You never know who you might meet. And I think that was really nice because they weren't on the app. So they were kind of like surprises.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I think otherwise, I do think it's essential to download the app.
Okay.
Because I found when you're in the park as well, nothing is signposted there, and there's no map that you have as such, like a paper map. So to know what's on at what time with regards to the shows, the daytime shows and the attractions and the waiting time for rides and everything, I think it's essential to download the Disney app.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree. And have plenty of battery in your phone.
Okay.
Because you're using that probably just as much as you are taking pictures and stuff as well. So
Okay, good tip, Bettina. Thank you very much. So everybody, download the Disneyland Paris app.
Who wants to tell us about the Walt Disney Studios?
Well, Studio Parks currently is the smaller of the two parks.
Yeah.
But she's going to be going through a lot of work in the next few months, which people might have seen online. But of the experience right now, I love Studios Park. It's got a more of a Pixar feel. You've got your Toy Story Land there. You've got Cars. Avengers Campus is there. And I just really, really think it's a really great park for many reasons. Firstly, it's compact. It's really easy to get around and even do two laps of if you want to go back and do an attraction that might have a long wait at a certain time. But another great thing that kind of differentiates it from the Disneyland park is it has fantastic shows and a large number of shows that are like in a theatre. And I'm someone who loves shows. So Disney's Mickey and the Magician is my absolute favourite. But we also did Disney Junior. We went to see the Frozen show, which is amazing. And I think that kind of differentiates this park a lot more from the other. But in terms of wandering and exploring, like Toy Story Land is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, with the toy soldiers, you know, the various different characters going around.
It's magical. And Cars as well is a really, really cool part of this. Like we did... it's kind of a little bit more spread out. It's not so much in a land, but there's really great Cars attractions there. We did the one, the road trip, Cars road trip that brings you kind of on Route 66. It has a little bit of a surprise when you get to the canyon. Yeah. We won't give too much away, but do give it a go. Again, it's a good one to rest your feet on. But there's also this, we did it in March. There's this little kind of like a merry-go-round, what looked calm. Cars ride. Oh my god, my kids loved it. I was screaming my head off, and it's just lots in there as well for little kids too, that will scare mammies. But I think it's a really, really good park for shows, is really what I loved about it. But I suppose as well, if you have Avengers fans, if you Spider-Man fans, like the Avenger campus is insane. You feel like you're on a movie set when you're walking through Avengers campus, and the Spider-Man web slinger ride there is absolutely incredible. I think that was one of your favourites, Patina, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was hands down my favourite. It was a 4D ride, and it's just the technology behind it alone is incredible. Like, it's just something you've never done, you know?
Yeah.
So something completely unexpected in my eyes anyway.
And in terms of planning, how do you plan around the parks? Because your tickets will cover both parks. Like, is it one a day, the other one the next day, or is it do one in the morning because it's less crowded, one in the evening because the shows are better?
Well, on my most recent trip, we went for 3 nights, which I suppose is the standard length of what a lot of Irish families or our travellers would go for. And we took an early flight out from Dublin. So our first day we spent in Disneyland Park. Once we checked into our hotel, our room wasn't ready and that was okay. Your room key, if you stay on site, which we did, is your park ticket. So we got that and headed to Disneyland Park. So we kind of covered our bases there and knew what we wanted to get to take in the next few days. Then the next day we did Disneyland Park again in the morning and we did Studios in the afternoon, and the following day we split as well. So I guess it depends on whether firstly if you're traveling, you know, the age group of the people that you're going with. And we were very much guided by show times, so we wanted to try and make sure we captured as much shows and parades as we could, and we didn't have on my last trip like high thrill rides on our list, so we very much planned around queue times and stuff as well. I kind of went with the flow. But it's easy enough and they're close enough, they're right next to each other, that you can easily park hop, you know, and go between the two. So that was how we broke it down.
Good. And talk to us a little bit about, like, the, we don't want to get too much into the practical stuff for this podcast. We want to kind of keep this all magic, but food can be magical. So how did the food side of things work out?
Well, I suppose having the app is really handy for pre-booking your dinner reservations. And if you don't have a reservation, you can do counter service in the various different restaurants around the park and also in the Disney Village. Disney Village is where you'd have some entertainment going on. You'd have your bars and restaurants there. Again, table service or counter service, depending on your requirements. But one that was we found really handy was going into Annette's Diner, which is in Disney Village. And it had a very small queue. And it was kind of like... similar to Eddie Rocket's style, with your hamburgers, hot dogs and that. But the atmosphere
was really nice
good.
In there. And the Royal Pub as well in Disney Village is another good spot for food.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Disney Village then, because that kind of fits in neatly with the, you know, kind of getting more of the feel for the practical part.
Yeah, so Disney Village, as Sonia pointed out, it's kind of, it's a hub that sits just outside the parks, so you don't need your park ticket to get into it, and anybody can visit it. And it's your restaurants and your bars and your shopping. And it's a very short, it feels like a short walk, but it's jam-packed. There's so much in it to enjoy. I would suppose the primary focus is dining venues, and you have the Royal Pub and Nett's Diner. There's a gorgeous new restaurant there. I didn't get into it now, but I saw it in March, called Rosalie, that looks really nice. If you are a client who enjoys more of a high-end experience, that looks really, really nice. There's also McDonald's there, there's Starbucks, there's Earl of Sandwich, which are really good budget options for breakfast as well. We didn't have on our recent trip any meal plan. We just chose to go room only, because we kind of wanted to, we had a character breakfast booked in the park one of the days, and the other 2 days were like, we'll eat on the way in for early, the early hour. So we just grabbed something really quickly in Earl of Sandwich and ate it as we walked, and the kids were in the buggy. So there is options to do that part of it. If food isn't your focus, and you want to give more money to the magic, I think Disney Village is a really great spot to be able to do that. There's plenty of choice depending on what budget your group fall into. There's also great shopping. World of Disney is the main store there. It's absolutely brilliant. It's the nearest one to the parks. But there's Lego, there's the toys, the bigger toy shop. But what I will say is it's undergoing renovations at the minute. And there is some kind of boarded areas up, but all the shops and stuff are still accessible. So if you are travelling soon, you might just see that. But they're in this process, like in Walt Disney Studios Park, of update and everything. And that's just the experience.
And they're meant to, they want to add a new kind of lifestyle shop in the Disney Village that's to come, and a Disney home store.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for decorations and so on. And there's also, they say that the Lego, there's a big Lego store there that they are going to revamp that Lego store. Have a new version of that Lego store there. So there's lots of changes within the Disney Village.
Great.
And new additions to come, yeah.
I love that idea of it being a hub in terms of entertainment and shopping and food, and that it's free and operates so easily and flows so easily from there into the parks.
And there's a lovely atmosphere, and they have music playing as you're walking.
And that's where the train brings you, Bettina. Pretty much it brings you almost to the Disney Village, does it?
Yeah, the train stop is right in front of it. So you're about like less than a 5 minute walk from the Disney Village. You can already see it when you get out of the train station.
Good. And then just moving on, we've talked about the app, the importance of downloading the app.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of the other added extras, things like the photo pass, the meal plans, character dining, the Premier Access. Tell us a bit about those, please.
Well, I'll start and then the girls can jump in as well. But on my recent trip, we did a character dining. We did the breakfast and we booked that, and it was in Plaza Gardens in Disneyland Park. So we booked the first seat, and it was the first thing in the morning. We were with the first group in, and it was amazing. Highly recommended, especially for young kids, because it is magical. You meet six characters and it's worth every penny, because the interaction with your kids is just gorgeous. But it takes away if you don't want to spend too much time queuing to do meet and greets in the park. You've obviously paid for the luxury of them coming to your table. And, you know, I had bought two autograph books, not even knowing if my two would know what an autograph is, because they are young. And they were so excited giving them over to, you know, Tigger and Goofy and everybody. And they just spend so much time with you. So for me, if you have small kids, like, that is a must. There's also a dinner version, and there's also a princess version as well.
Nice.
So next time I go, I'm going to do them. And another thing we added into our holiday package, and I highly recommended as well, especially if you're into photographs at all, which I am, the photo pass is amazing, and I believe it's cheaper to book it before you go, so I was able to add that to my reservation, and it just meant that I activated it in the shop in my hotel. I stayed in Sequoia Lodge, and it's unlimited professional pictures in the park. So you can get pictures from the rides, character meet and greets. They have photograph stations.
I was wondering what it was. I didn't realise.
It's so good. They have so many opportunities to get photographs throughout the park. But what I wasn't expecting from it, and this is where I think the value really comes in, because I think I paid maybe €70 for it for the 3 days. Like, it's not expensive when you break it down compared to if you bought a photograph in a park. Like, they're quite expensive. You get five or six photos per interaction with a character, for example. And we were able to use it for the character meet and greets in our hotel as well. So we ended up with like 40 pictures, not including anything from rides and, you know, from the few characters we did meet.
That's good.
And I, like, if you're taking full advantage, and I didn't get to because just with the two mini people, you know, I only could do so much on my 3 days there.
Yeah.
But if you were, you know, had older kids or whatever, you'd be able to get a lot more use out of it as well, especially on the scary rides if you want to have them pictures.
So the photo pass is a definite. Yeah.
100%.
Meal plans, Disney Premier Access?
Yeah, meal plans, you can add on half board, so breakfast and evening dinner. And we can certainly look at it here from the sales point of view, adding it on to the booking and go through costings with clients, depending on the time of year. Another option that clients can add on is the Premier Access Unlimited or Premier Access One. So Premier Access Unlimited gives you unlimited access to the majority of the main rides. You get to skip the queue and do one ride per attraction on the unlimited. With the Premier Access One, you can use it, you can buy it on the day. And if there's a particular ride that you want to do on that day, you can just buy the Premier Access for that ride. It generally costs between 9 and 18 euro depending on the ride. So it's a handy way of kind of skipping
the queue. We had said for our next trip, we're definitely going to pay for Premier Access, the ultimate one for one day.
Yeah.
Because we just found queuing hard. Now, I wouldn't be
especially
a very patient person.
People.
But with little people, it's, you know, it's a lot to be expected. And I think, like, when we were there in March, and I know the price changes as well, it was, I think it was 98 euros per person or something. So we said, right, next time, we're just going to take that hit because I think it's so worth it.
Yeah.
You do all your major rides in one day in both parks, and then the rest of their time in Disney you can do the shows and the magic and parades. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
So you can actually just do it for one day.
The full ultimate
you don't have
ticket.
To buy it for every single day that you're there. You can just do
one day.
Focus that day on
your
rides. The big rides. Skip the queues.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that's good.
It works for one time for every ride.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to do the ride again, that doesn't work with the Premier Access.
There's enough to keep
But I think especially if people are going, you know, in Paris, it can get really hot over the summer and having to queue in the heat.
Yeah.
That's for me the first reason why I would buy a Premier Access.
Does the one Premier Access cover both parks?
Yes, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. The ultimate one.
Good. And Bettina, any news? Because you're always keeping up to date on what's happening and talking to our colleagues in Disney. So what's happening with Disneyland Paris? There's always so much investment and so much new stuff happening.
Well, I guess the most recent one, they made a big announcement a few days ago that Walt Disney Studios are going to have a name change. And it's going to change to Disney Adventure World.
Okay.
That name change, however, that won't come into effect until the opening of their new land, which is the World of Frozen.
Okay. Wow.
That's coming next year. They have not given an exact date when their opening will be, but they are saying 2025. And with the opening of that land, they will have the renaming of the Walt Disney Studios to Disney Adventure World. With that, they're already making changes in Walt Disney Studios. Currently, the Studio One is going refurbishments, and it's going to change a little bit. They're going to have a new kind of park entrance, which will have a new theme and a new name called World Premiere. So it's all going to be like a bit Hollywood stars or Hollywood themed. So there is these different changes. As I said, there's new shows is coming. I think we've mentioned that Alice and the Queen of Hearts. It's meant to start at the end of May. What was just announced was also a new night show at the Avengers campus, which will be featuring the Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange. So it's going to be with new projections, music, special effects. That's coming kind of towards the end of the year.
Brilliant. So lots of things happening.
Lots of things happening, especially around Walt Disney Studios. So for people going now at the end of April and onwards, they will see some refurbishments going on in some areas boarded up.
But they do it. They do it well. Generally,
it's fine.
They don't interfere. Yeah. And then, of course, it's going to be busy during the Olympics, end of July into August, and the Paralympics towards the end of August into September. But you know, we'll all know about that. It's pretty well flagged in our near neighbour France.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys. We'll anything else that you want to catch before we wrap it up on this podcast?
I don't think so.
I think you've given us a real flavour for the magic. I now have a way better feel for the two parks. Like, I've been a few times, but so much has changed and so much has happened and so much is developing. So I think what you've given us is the perfect follow-on to the how to do Disney. This is the what's to enjoy at Disney bit.
Yeah.
So Sonia, Bettina, Kathleen, thank you very much. And thank Jill, you. Back to you.
Thanks for joining us. And if you want to follow us on our social channels, we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. And if you have any suggestions for our podcast, please email us at podcast@clickandgo.com.
And if you want to speak to the experts, we're available 7 days a week and we're updating all the content on the website. So for the place to go for anything Disneyland Paris, just clickandgo.com.
Brilliant. Great. Thank you very much, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.